Nundalad Amid Beis, second line, the Mishnah. And now we're going on to cases where you're not allowed to take the animal out into Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos because there's certain attachments to the animal. Ein chamor yotzei v'mardas bizman she'eino k'shura lo. So in the previous Mishnah we spoke about a donkey, and there's something called a saddle cloth, which is a piece of cloth that separates the body of the donkey from the saddle on top. And it's got to be tied down. And tied down means, as we'll soon see, firmly tied down. So there'll be no chashash that maybe it'll fall off while he's in Rosh Hashanah. What else is prohibited? Lo bizug afal pishu pakuk. So you have a bell that's not functioning as a bell. He stopped it up. That's called pakuk. And, he stuffs, cotton into the bell in such a way that it wouldn't ring. And the Gemara is going to ask, why is that also? L'chor, the whole issue of a bell around the animal's neck would only be a problem, if the bell is making music, but here it's pakuk. V'lobis sulam shebet savaro. They used to put on the back of the animal, or on the neck of the animal, some sort of a quote-unquote ladder. And the Gemara is going to explain that this is something that might fall off the animal, and we'll see how much value it has, and then, the owner is going to pick it up on Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. He might carry it for Amos. And we'll see why the Mishnah uses the word sulam. What is the purpose of this ladder on the neck of the animal? V'lo b'ritzua sheberaglo. And they used to put a strap on its leg, perhaps for medicinal purposes. Maybe they were afraid the leg would get irritated. And that's also considered a masa. Or alternatively, we're afraid that maybe the strap will fall off and it'll carry it. And there are certain cords that they used to tie around the hens. And that's also v'lobirtsua shebragleim, straps around their legs. V'ein hazchorim yotzim ba'gola shetachas ha'aliyah shalem. And here we're talking about the aliyah, which is the tail. And the end of a tail of this animal, this male ram, is quite wide. And it's quite heavy. It drags on the earth. And it might be bruised. It might be lacerated. Therefore, he would tie a miniature wagon under the tail. The animal would pull the wagon when he pulls its tail. And that wagon would serve to protect the tail from rubbing against the earth as it drags on the earth. Now again, the assumption we're going to work with now is that if he's in a public domain, he might, this particular attachment to the animal might fall off and he might inadvertently carry it in Rosh Hashanah. V'ein arachelim yotzos chanunos. So in the previous Mishnah, we learned about different kinds of things that are added to the ewe and they are permissible. They protect the animal, or they allow the owner of the animal to move with the rachela, with this little lamb. But when it comes to the wagon that's put under their tail, chanunos, we'll have to see the Gemara about chanunos. Let's not stack the cards. But eino egel yotzei begemon. And again, a calf can't go out with a gemon. We don't know what a gemon is. The Gemara is going to go through each one of these. Lopar bi'or hakupar. And that's a kind of an animal. They took the skin of the animal and they used to tie it onto the udders of the cow. And that's not allowed in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. Lopar tzua shebein karneo. And they used to use a strap to tie the two horns on top of the para. And that's not allowed. This actually might have to do with masa. Until now we've talked about something that might fall off if it's not tight. And Paroso shall Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah Yosef Yotza Bertsua Shebein Karnel shall Obrotza Chacham. It seems that someone in the household of Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah, maybe a neighbor, would tie together a strap between the horns of Rabbi Eliezer ben Azariah's cow. And the Chacham were very upset about this. Again, it wasn't Rabbi Eliezer himself who did it, but nevertheless he should have objected. That's going to give a springboard for a gigantic agada to hear at the end of this parak. So the Gemara asks, "My taima, what's this business about a chamor that it cannot go out with a saddlecloth?" And the Gemara says, "Kid amoron," as we mentioned back on Daf Nun Gimel, that this saddlecloth has to be tied onto the donkey before Shabbos, so that it becomes crystal clear that the donkey is very sensitive to the cold and it needs that saddlecloth to warm it up, and that makes it into a lavush. But if he puts the saddlecloth onto the donkey on Shabbos, then we no longer have evidence that the garment is keeping the donkey warm, because if it was, why didn't he tie it before Shabbos? V'lo bizug afal pishu pakuk. And the donkey cannot go out with these bells, even though they've been stuffed, and it cannot ring. Mishum demechse keman diyazel lechinga. When they took the donkeys to market, and they would sell the donkey, then they would put bells around the neck of the donkey, and that was an indication that the donkey is a beautiful donkey. Look at its bells. And this is what we call noi for the animal, and that's a problem. Now, exactly what the problem is, let's assume, until we know otherwise, that's a problem that this bell might fall and he might carry it in Rishus HaRav. V'lo b'sulam shebetzavaro, very strange concept here. What does it mean? A sulam is usually a ladder, and now we're putting it on its neck. What's that all about? Omer Afuna. Bay loa. So the loa is the cheek. And what they did was they tied down something that would protect the animal. If the animal would turn around, look this way and look that way, then the fear was that it might scratch itself, might harm itself, especially near the cheeks. So they put on what you would call today a brace that would sort of cushion the cheek from anything around it that might bruise the animal. And it was in the shape of a ladder. Not sure why. L'may avdile lehecha de isle maka tilohoder cheach be. So we're afraid that the animal might have a wound, that it might turn around this way and that way and scratch its wound. So this ladder was basically used to, in a sense, straitjacket the animal, again, for the benefit of the animal, to make sure that its neck is fixed in place and he won't turn this way and that way and irritate any wounds that he might have and any skin sensitivities. Now here, this Sfas Emes, based on Rashi, has a whole discussion. We had a Gemara back on Nun Gimel, if you remember, about an animal that has a broken limb, and if you put the splints on both sides of the leg, for example, then that's mutter on Shabbos, because it's for the sake of protecting the animal. And here the brace itself, no less than splints, is there to protect the animal. Why is it different than splints? And they come up with a thesis that a lot has to do with the value. You know, we've been talking about how tightly it's tied down to the animal, and it might fall off, get loose, the animal might break it loose, and it'll carry it inadvertently in Rishus HaRab. But to appreciate that, we also have to add the element of value, of expense, to the equation. And the splints, when an animal has a broken limb, that's something that's valueless. It's just, you know, take any two pieces of wood. You don't have to buy it. It's not manufactured. But this particular kind of a brace, which we said is attached to the neck of the animal, and it looks like a ladder, apparently this is a manufactured, valuable object. There's more of a chashash that he may carry it on Shabbos. Ayin Sfasemes. V'lo bertzua sheber raglov. Now, what's a strap on its leg? The avdilele gizra. Once again, it's kind of like for medicinal purposes to protect the animal. And it's a strap that they use to prevent the animal from rubbing, from knocking. Let's say, for example, if an animal takes short strides, you know, the feet knock against each other. So we need protective bands. You've seen them, animals that have protective bands. You've seen it with men, you know, play sports and basketball and so forth. And above the hooves of the animal, they put these, you know, these straps, which are called Ritzua Shebaraglov. And apparently these are things that could fall off and might be expensive. A person who owns the animal might be tempted to carry them in Rishus HaRab. V'ena tarnagolim yotzim bechutin. And the Gemara wants to know, what are these cords for the hens? The avdilei simona keichidol lichlif. You know, everybody has their chickens, their hens. They all look pretty much the same. So you want to identify them. You know, today, well, you know, to identify with, let's say, for example, the cows, you may have seen that they drill a hole in the cow's ear and they put a number on the cow or whatever. These are ways that you can identify something that they shouldn't be exchanged by someone else. And in the case of Tarnagolim, of these chickens, they used to put these cords on as simonim, as identification marks. And then we learned in the Mishnah, v'lo birtsua. This is a strap on its legs. The avdilei kihechi d'lo lisperu money. Now, this is very interesting. Rashi quotes Halachi of Tzroros. This is a famous sugya in Bava Kamma, that the animal, as it walks, very often will kick in the ground and shoot off pebbles. And if those pebbles break some other object of value that belongs to somebody else, that's called chasi nezek tzroros. But in any event, there's a damage. So the owner of the chickens wants to make sure that the chickens will not kick and raise its feet, and then we have to tie it down. So he gets a short strap and he ties it down. Then the Mishnah says, "V'einas charem yotzim ba'gola," some sort of a wagon, a small wagon that's underneath that tail. Ki hechi de'lolach mitan al yaseh. So this wagon is also kind of a cushion, so that the tail shouldn't be bruised. As we said before, the tail of the male ram is quite wide and quite heavy, and it could very often could touch the ground, be bruised by rocks and stones and so forth and so on. So now he puts this cushion underneath the tail. And that's a problem on Shabbos. V'ein arachelim yotzos chanunos. Okay, now we have to figure out what this chanunos is all about. Yosef Rav Acha bar Ula kameid Rav Chizda. V'yosef v'kamar. It's interesting, it says v'yosef twice. Once v'yosef means that he was sitting, as any student sits in front of him. Then he wanted to be recognized, so he would stand up. But once he was recognized, he would have to sit down a second time in order to make a point. And Rav Acha's point was, when are you sitting in front of Rav Chisda, is Mishah Shegozes in Osa, Tomnim La, Ezek B'Shemen, Umenichin Lal Padachta, Kedei Shelo Titztane. Wow, this is an entire, you know, we're learning about about raising animals. We're going to learn about, you know, the time that you shear the wool off the animal. We're going to talk about the sheep that's giving birth to a little lamb. So that's what we have to do over here. We become shepherds for the day. Now, when they shear the wool off a sheep, they want to make sure that from the time that they take the wool off the sheep until the wool actually grows back, there should be a compress of oil, and that oil is meant to protect the back of the sheep. And they actually had this beautiful compress of oil which they placed on the on the sheep. Now, where exactly was this oil on the sheep? This is really interesting. Menichel al padachta. They put this compress of oil on the forehead of the sheep to keep it warm. Wow, that's really treating your sheep royally. Amalei Rav Chisda in Kena Sisa. There's a mapik hay in the hay. Sisa, you made this U into a Marukva. Marukva was considered one of the most respectable scholars in his time. He was the Abezdin, he was very wealthy. And now, who would treat sheep as well as you treat Marukva? Again, if you would do this kind of thing, the Gemara is not denying that it would be a masa, this compression. But are you really telling me that that's what's going on here in the Mishnah? And that's the chanunos here. We're treating our sheep like they're the most expensive sheep in the world. Amalei Rav Nachman, Imkena Sisa. I'm sorry, we skipped a little. El Yosef Rapapa Bar Shmuel Kameid Rav Chisda offers another interpretation in front of Rav Chisda. Yosef Koma Bishah Shekoras Leled, when the sheep gives birth, she crouches, is then Tomnim La Shnei Azokim Shal Shemen Minichin La Echad Al Padachta Echad Al Rechem Kideisha Tischamim. So apparently, during the process of giving birth, the sheep gets cold, and we prepare two compresses of oil for the sheep. And one they put on the forehead, like it sits on the Kohen Gadol, and the other was on the upper part of the body of the animal, and this would keep the animal warm. He says, Al Rechem, which is the womb, that's where it gets cold. Amalei Rav Nachman, again, Rav Nachman is going to reject this for the same reason that the Gemara in the name of Rav Chisda rejected Rav Acha bar Ula, and that is Imkena Sisa Yalta. You know, you're treating the sheep like a woman by the name of Yalta. Yalta was the wife of Rav Nachman, and instead of Rav Nachman saying you're treating the sheep like my wife, he said, you're treating her like Yalta. He called her by name. Elos, the Gemara now gives a third explanation. Omer Rav Huna, Eitz Echad Yesh Bekarche Ayom, V'chanun Shmo. Alright, so there's a certain tree that you could import from, I don't know where, some sea city. And it's called Chanun, a compassionate tree. Or wood, Mevi'im Kisam, and apparently this Chanun tree had a very strong fragrance to it, so that they would just chip off a small piece of the wood, and this would help the animal. How? They would put the kisam, this chip of wood, into the animal's nose, kidesha tisateh, so it would sneeze, sneezing sheep, the yiplu darne rosha, and different bugs or worms that enter into the heads of the sheep will fall down. And you know, this really interests me, because I don't know if you ever heard of, if you follow Israeli art, there's a famous artist, he died recently, his name was Kadishman, and he's famous for the heads of sheep. But I never saw heads of sheep with a little bit of this chip of wood in its nose. So the Gemara asks, "Hachi zcharim nami?" Why does the Mishnah single out the female ewes? You know, the attack of worms to the head of a sheep is the lo mavkin bein tzadik bein zochel in the cave. So why does the Mishnah mention the females? And the Gemara answers, "Kevan de menagchei zcharim ba'adadi." The male sheep play a very active role, very aggressive role. And menagchei milosh negicha, they attack each other, and the male nuflan, they don't suffer from this terrible infestation of worms on their heads. But the female one needs it. Now the Gemara offers another interpretation of Chanunos. Shimon Nazira Omar. Interesting, Shimon was a Nazir. We don't find too many Nazirim in the Gemara, but from time to time we do. Is Kisma Derisma. How did they make the sheep sneeze? They used rosem wood. You may recall that we discussed rosem wood way back in the Lamids when we were talking about coals, you know, hot coals that remain hot for a long time. We're always afraid you might poke them and stir them. And in the case of rosem, that special wood, it is quite effective at keeping the heat going. Anyway, there's another dimension of this rosem wood, and that is that it causes the animal to sneeze if you put it in its nose. So the Gemara says the following, Bishleima Dirav Huna Hainitiktoni Chanunos. Right, because the name of this piece of wood, or the tree from which it came, is called a Chanun tree. El Rabbanon, my Chanunos. Now, I think when he says here Rabbanon, he means all the other possible explanations of what Chanunos is all about. Let's go through them again. There'll be a good chazor. Right, there was Rav Acha Bar Ula, and he was the one who says that they put these compresses of oil on the forehead of the ewes in order to keep them warm. And then we had Rav Papa Bar Shmuel, and he said that these compresses of oil were put on the animal too, when the animal was giving birth, two different ones, if you recall. And then we have this third interpretation of Shimon Nazira, and he's talking about getting the sheep to sneeze. But again, what wood is he using? He's using Kisma Derisma. He's not using a Chanun tree. So Rabbanon, according to all these opinions that we mentioned, my Chanunos, you know, what's the etymological root of the word Chanunos in this context? And the Gemara answers that Avdina le Milsa de Merachmin Alayu. Now, it's all these interpretations are for the benefit out of the compassion that we have for the sheep. I guess you call it Tzar Baichai Doraisa. Right? If we're putting a compress of oil, or For example, if we are getting the sheep to sneeze so that we remove their worms, all this is out of a sense of compassion for the animal. And that's the word chanunos. And now we're up to the Ein Ha'egel Yotze Begimon. We didn't know what a gimon is. My Egel Begimon. What does it mean? A calf goes out with a gimon. Amar Rav Huna says, Bar Nira. What's Bar Nira? The son, Bar, of a yoke. So let's look this up in the Hebrew for a second. He writes, Gimon hu Bar Nira Ol Katan. Ol Shosim Le Egel Kori Bar Nina. And Menichemo So Le Egel Bitzavaro She Yisragel Lichvof Rosho Lichkishi Yigdal. Wow, unbelievable. I always thought cows, you know, look downwards by nature, by birth, but he's saying that we have to train them from the time that they're born, and in order to make sure that their head goes downwards, we put this ol katan, this kind of burden, on the neck of the animal. That's Rav Huna. Omer Rabbi Eliezer, my mashmadai gimon lishna de mechif, right, gimon is mechif, and the Gemara says the chsiv a pasuk in Yeshayo halachof ke agmon rosho, and this is part of the tochacha, the harsh rebuke of Yeshaya, and God threatens that he will force them to bend their head like a fish hook, just like a fish hook is bent over, so too they will have to bend over their heads if they don't do tshuva. So this all which causes you, the egel, to bend over its head is called a gamon, which is from the lashon of ke'agmon. Then it says in the Mishnah, Lo Yeltzos Para Bi'or HaKupar. The cow cannot go out with a skin of a kupar. A kupar is, in fancy English, a hedgehog. And this hide was tied to the udders of the para. Ki'echi Delo Limtsuya Yole. Yole, he translates as alukos, otherwise known as leeches in English. And limtsuya is to suck. We know that leeches like to, you know, suck the blood out of you. And in this case, they like to suck the milk out of the udders. So in order to protect the animal, we place this or hakupar, hide of a hedgehog. So he covers the udders of the cow with the skin of the hedgehog, and that prevents the leeches from sucking the milk. Because when these leeches or other rodents want to attempt to suck the milk, they will be repelled by the sharp spines of this hide, of the hedgehog hide. Then the Mishnah says, "V'lo birtzua shebein karneha," and we don't tie a strap between the horns of the cow and let it go out on Shabbos. So Gemara says that this touches on a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel that we had on Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Let's see. According to Rav, when you give Shmira Yisera, that means you offer a protection to the animal that goes beyond, it's excessive, beyond what the animal needs, that's called a masui, is then in this case of the cow, is bein linoi u bein l'shamer asur. So it seems like there are two possible reasons for this strap. This Ritzua ben Karneha. One is Linoi, And I guess what it means, they probably, you know, color the strap with a fancy, beautiful color. Maybe they twist around this strap and make it into a braid. And when they place it between the two horns of the para, that's called linnoi, and that's prohibited. And that's the shita of Rav. We'll soon see that Shmuel disagrees. We learned this already back on Daf Nun Beis. And l'shamer, sometimes they would tie up with this strap the animal around its horns, and that's how they grabbed on to the animal, grabbed onto this strap, and then they would lead the animal. In both cases, it's also, in the first case, it's also because noi is not something that's permissible according to Rav on Shabbos, noi for an animal. And number two, in the case of l'shamer, that's prohibited because it's what's called shmir yisera. According to Rav, the cows are very docile. You know, they're very they work very well with elves. You don't have to drag them. You know, just I guess whatever you have to do, you'll get them to move. They're not running in, away from you. So therefore, this is unnecessary to masri. Elish Shmuel, if we're going to interpret like Shmuel who holds that Shmiri Yisera is not called a Masui, as we studied at great length back on Daf Nun Beis, but then Linoi Osur, if this Ritzua, the strap, is there for beauty purposes, it's one of those flashy colored straps that is braided and so on, that's Osur. But L'shamer, if he's doing it for the purpose of Shmira, even though the cow doesn't need this very radical and profound Shmira, nevertheless, Shmira Yisev is called Shmira, and it's Mutar on Shabbos. Paroso Shel Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria, that single cow of Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria would go out, Beritzua Sheben Karneo, and the Chachom were not happy with that. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, Chada Pora Havile? Are you telling me Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria was one of the richest men in the civilized world? All he had was one cow. V'ha Omar Rav, V'amri Le'a Omar Rav Yehud Omar Rav. Tresar Alfe Igle Havi Ma'aser Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria Me'edre Kol Shata V'Shata. On an annual basis, Kol Shata V'Shata, every year, Rabbi Lozar ben Azaria would be mafrish 12,000 calves. So we're talking about Maisa Behema. And the firstborn of the animals require Maisa. You have to give one out of every 10. You put them all into deer, they go out, and they count to this, 1, 2, 3, until you get to the 10th. And the total number on an annual basis of Meiser Behema that was given by Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria from his gigantic herd was not less than 12,000 calves. And you can't tell me, therefore, that Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria has one calf. There's an interesting discussion here in Tosfos. Maybe we'll get to this. We'll see if we have time. So the Gemara says, Tana, we have a Braisa that explains our Mishnah. And the Braisa says, Lo shalohoi. So we're not talking about his para. Ela shcheinoso hoisa. His neighbor had a cow. And he should have objected when his neighbor's cow went out on Rosh Hashanah Rabim with a Ritzua Ben Karneo. And since he did not object, he didn't make a protest, Nikreis al Shmo, it's as if he himself had taken out his own cow. And the Mishnah, couches the objection of the Chachomim and their frustration as if it were Rabbi Eliezer ben Azaria with his own cow. And why? Because he didn't object to the behavior of his neighbor. Just as if he did the Avera himself. So we're about to start a major Agada to here. They'll take us till the end of Perek Hamishi. And first we begin with a series of Maamori Chazal about the importance of making Macha when somebody's violating the law of the Torah. Rav Chanina Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva, Masnu. Now, Masnu means they taught. So we have Rav, Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Chaviva, Masnu, they taught. So the Gemara right now says, wait a minute. Bekulo Seder Demoed, Kol Kihai Zuga Chalufe. Rabbi Yochanan, take out Rabbi Yochanan, Uma'ail Rabbi Yonah's son. Okay, so this is a parenthetical insert that the Gemara points out, that in Seder Moed, at least, instead of Rabbi Yochanan, it should say Rabbi Yonah's son. And then we get to the content, the substance of the statement itself. Kol misha efshal limcho si anshe beso v'lo micha nitfas al anshe beso. So whoever has the potential is in a position where he can influence others, and if members of his immediate, let's call it household or even beyond, are sinning and he has the way of protesting and they will heed his protest and he fails to do so, then he is punished for the avera of members of his household. And not only the members of his household, of the Anshi Iro. If he has influence within the city, he's guilty. If he doesn't protest the transgressions, the iniquities of the members of his city, Nitfasal Anshi Iro, and B'chol Olam Kulo, if he has a leadership role, and he can make an impact on the entire Jewish nation, he's a Nasi, he's Rosh Sanhedrin, he's a Melech, he's a Kohen Gadol, all these, Nitfas Al Kol Olam Kulo, they will be punished for the transgressions across the world, because they could have had that influence, they could have made a protest, and they didn't do so. Omar of Papa, Vahani, Devereish Galusa, Nitfisu al kuli alma. In fact, he says that there were those who belonged to the house of the Reish Galusa. These were officers who could have had an influence on the entire Jewish world had they protested, and they failed to do so. And that's Nitfisu al kuli alma. They'll get punished for the iniquities of the entire world because they failed to protest. So this is an aspect, an element of tochacha that has to be emphasized. And ki hodi omer Rab Chanina darshened a pasuk in Mishle. My dechsiv, what's the meaning of the verse? Hashem v'mishpat yavoim ziknei amo v'sarov. I'm sorry, this is not, but the next Gemara is going to quote Apostle Mishlei. This one's from Yeshaya. Hashem will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and its rulers. Im sarim chatu. The context of the pasuk seems to indicate that it was the sarav, it was the officers and the officials who had sinned. Why is ziknei amo? What's that doing over here? Is ziknei amo machatu at the beginning of Daf Nun Hayim and Aleph? Ela ema al zkenim shlomichu besarim. The pasuk is addressing those kenim who could have made a protest against the sinful violations of those leaders of the people, which are called sarav, and they didn't do so, and therefore God's judgment will be brought about against the zkenim as well. And the Gemara is going to give us a little bit of a story here. Rabbi Yehuda v'Yosef kami de Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda was sitting in front of Shmuel. He was watching. He was doing shimush, watching him adjudicate cases. And asoy ahi isisa. A woman came into the court, katzovcha kamei, and she started crying out. She was claiming that somebody committed a profound injustice against her. V'lovi mashkech bei. Shmuel felt it wasn't his place to pay attention to her. Amaleis Rabbi Yehuda was very surprised by this, and he says, Lo Sovele Mar, doesn't my master hold a statement of the Chazal based on a pasuk? Again, in Mishle, this is a pasuk I had in mind before. Otem Ozno, somebody who closes his ears, he's deaf, to the Zakas Dal, to the cries of the poor, of the unfortunate. Gamhu Yikra, He would call out to God, Velo Yana, and God will not respond. Amale, so Shmuel turned to Rabbi Yehuda, and he said to him, Shinana. He called him the sharp one. And that's a way of saying that he had a very analytic mind. Now, obviously, when Rabbi Yehuda asked him, doesn't my master hold of this pasuk? He meant the interpretation of the pasuk. Obviously, he has to hold by the pasuk. But here's what Shmuel responded to Rabbi Yehuda. Reshach bekrire. He spoke to him in a mashal. He didn't want to give him direct rebuke. He says that your head, which is a symbolic reference to your Rebbe, your teacher, which Shmuel is talking about himself, Shmuel was the Rebbe of Rav Yehuda, is the Reshech Akrira. In a sense, it's in cold water. In other words, don't try to get me heated up here. I'm not impressed by your tochacha by quoting this pasuk. Why? Because resha de reshach, the head of your head, meaning my head, my leader, my overseer, my superior, is bechamime. He's the one who's in hot water. And here Shmuel has symbolically conveyed the message that Mar Ukva, who's the Nasi of the Bezdin, he's the head for both you and me, both you, Rabbi Yehuda, and even me, Shmuel, he'll be scalded by hot water because he has the power to help this woman. He's the one who bears the brunt of this responsibility. HaYosiv Mar Ukva of Bezdin. Take a look. Mar Ukva is sitting here judging cases. He's the head of the rabbinical court. The responsibility is his. That's where the buck stops. And he's the one who should be making give due time to this woman who's yelling and screaming. Dichsiv. And now we have a pasuk from which Yirmiyahu HaNavi is going to teach us that who's in charge here and who's going to be punished. Base David, Komar Hashem, Dino La Boker Mishpat, Vatsilu Gazul Miar Oshek, Penteitse, Keish Hamasi, Uvara, Vien Mechabim Ipnei Roa Malehem. House of David. David is the house of Malchus, of kingship. And Hashem says, execute judgment in the morning, rescue the robbed from the hands of the oppressors, lest thy wrath, my wrath, go forth like fire and consume, that none can quench because of the evil of their deeds. And Mar Ukva, the head of the Bezdin, was Mitzetzai, David HaMelech. And this pasuk addressed itself not to David, but to base David. And it speaks of a consuming fire, of the anger of Hashem. Therefore, you should know, Rabbi Yehuda, I'm not the one who's going to get scalded by hot water. It's the Nasi, it's Mar Ukva, who comes from Beis David. Now, at this point, the Gemara is going to go into a long agadata about the significance of protesting against wrongdoing. And Emirtz Hashem, we'll pick that up tomorrow. Let's just make a note of where we get up to here on Daf Nun Heyam and Aleph. Amale Rab Zeru Rav Simon, and it's about 11 lines down from the top of the page.